I like to really, when I talk and whatnot, I like to get down with the people, and I feel like we should feel closer to one another, ladies and gentlemen. What good is it when you go to church and you're not close to one another? I mean, what are we trying to achieve? So what we try to do is, wherever we are, is try to facilitate Him. And if we all get to Jesus and we love Jesus, just like Brother George, as you alluded to, I tell you, what else is there? That's why we are living. We come together to give God the glory. That's it. That's the big rock. That's the paradigm. That's what we need to understand. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. God don't look at the color of your skin. We look at our hearts. And if we could get to be what we should be, truly one nation under God, we'll be okay. That's the paradigm. We have to love God. So Jordan and I, he was with me. I tell you, he flew with me a couple weeks ago. We were up in Ohio previously. In fact, while Brian was in the gospel meeting, believe me, we were on the other side of Ohio, right down the road from him, actually, at another place. And I was thinking, boy, oh boy, why don't we just flip-flop? I'll go to Cambridge, and he can go to Barnesville, where I'm at. We'll surprise him, okay? But it was just ironic how that happened, and really interesting. But we're elated to be here and very thankful. We had a wonderful flight and whatnot, and I'm glad to get to know you. I'll get your names, all right? It might take me a couple, so if I call you the wrong name, don't get up, don't throw your book at me or whatnot. Give me the benefit of the doubt, but we'll get hooked up. We'll get hooked up. Turn in your good books to Colossians chapter 3. Please. Colossians chapter 3. And really, when you look at this week, folks, this gospel meeting, here's the theme: glorifying Jesus. Giving it all to Jesus. Hey, guess what? The only reason that you all are living today is because of Jesus. I tell you, we might have people here and your health might be not well. I understand that. I've been to places where their health is not really well. Where I'm at right now, there's health issues. I get that. But I'm going to tell you this. We need to rejoice in the Lord. No matter what's going on in our little rock of our world, we need to rejoice, because one day you will be rejoicing in the Lord if you cross the valley and you make it. You'll rejoice and you will not be turning back. You will be being very, very thankful. We're going to have the degradation of this world, the smut of this world will drown you if you let it. People will drown you if you let them. That's why, as we alluded to, let's take time to reflect here. Very few minutes here, and time will, I tell you, we're going to be done with this Bible class. It's going to go by so fast. The sermons are going to go, they're just going to flip by. But let's give God our undivided attention for just a few minutes. And that's what He expects. And we can all venerate, we can glorify Him and tell Him, thank you. I'm very thankful that I could get up this morning and say, God, thank you. Thank you that we have another day. Because there's a lot of people, they don't. But one day, if we make it, there ain't going to be no more dying. There ain't going to be no more pain. There's not going to be no more, things going wrong. Because when you're in God, everything's right. And I want you to remember that. When you're in God, everything's right. Because God is right. God is right. He's always right. What we need to do is get back to the book. And we need to follow that Bible. And that's it. That is our schematic. That is the pattern. We need the Bible. So I would like for you, we should be in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And I know you know the story. You know what? I understand that. But maybe we can just rehash just a little bit to understand, to bring to our remembrance really what it is to be a child of God. What is it? I mean, here we are. I'm supposed to be glorifying Jesus Christ, and I got to love God. But I'm going to say something to you right now. Maybe you've never heard this before. Maybe you have heard this. Maybe Brian's been preaching it since he's got here. I don't know. But I want to say something to you. And don't ostracize me if you haven't heard it. Give me a chance to prove myself, okay? Jury, give me a chance. I'll call you brothers and sisters, all right? Because that's what we really should be. You know, that's what we are, I hope. And I appreciate meeting several of you this morning and welcoming Jordan and I to your beautiful town here, Chester. It's just very, very nice. I used to preach in Middleburn, West Virginia several years ago. I was there for 5 years before I went to Florida, where we've been down there for almost 9 years. And before there, I was in Tennessee for 8 years. Little group, you know, just hanging out and doing God thing, which is preaching His Word. But I want you to understand this. And I tell people this everywhere I go. And I really mean what I'm about to say. And like I said, if you've heard it, great. Run with it. If you haven't heard it, just digest it. And you can ask me anything you want to ask, and I'll give you a book, chapter, and verse for it, okay? That's just how it's going to operate here this week. But for this gospel meeting to be at work, I want to challenge you first before I'm about to say what I'm going to say. I would ask you all, please, when I was at Barnesville a couple weeks ago, I'll tell you what, I'm telling you, I challenged. I said, I want to do something. When I was up at Newark several weeks ago, I want to challenge you, okay? In Tennessee, I want to challenge you. Where? I don't care where you go. Romania, I'm going to challenge you. I want to challenge you, okay? This week, we have this gospel meeting going on. Now, I know a lot of you're working. We might have visitors here today or whatnot, and I would ask one person, ask your neighbor, ask your mailman, your mail lady, ask the UPS driver. You say, well, they're going to be, delivering, It doesn't matter. Ask someone to come to the meeting. I know you probably have other meetings going on in the area or whatnot. I don't know the paradigm here, but ask someone. Not to come and hear Danny Allen, because if you tell them about Danny Allen, they're going to say, forget that, all right? They come and hear about Jesus Christ, okay? I want them to hear the good news. By the way, what is the gospel, ladies and gentlemen? What is the gospel? Yeah, Tom. Yeah, let's hear the good news. I'll put you to sleep. I don't want to put you to sleep, but the good news will edify you. We just got them praying about edification. We want to be edified, and that's what it should be. You want to encourage people. You want people to see not you, him. So let's do that. So I make that challenge to you all. Ask someone. You want this to be a success. And I've heard you've been working for this meeting. I tell you, what you do for God, it will be touched. God realizes this. And does it not say in the Bible somewhere, with God, what is possible? That's exactly right, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? So either we believe it or we don't believe it. So here's what I want to say as we start this. And you tell me, you raise your hand if you heard this. More is caught than taught. Anybody heard that statement? More is caught than taught. Well, you better book it. You better write that down. More is caught than taught. Now, I want you to think about that. You see, I can stand here, I can give you a Bible class, and I can quote all these scriptures in the world. You're going to say, whoa, how does he do that? Well, Brian Baldry does the same thing. Great. It really means diddly if we don't live it in our life. See, we have people watching us all the time. I'm a father. I have four children. I'm a grandpa. Just become a grandpa. My oldest daughter just had her little baby boy. I love it. Love it. I got to get more excited, okay? Love it. Little 14-week-year-old boy, and I'm just so thankful for that. Godly husband, godly lady, and little Hudson, But you know what I want Hudson to see in me? I want to see him what a Christian is. Not what I got physically or financially or what a Christian is. You know what I want my son to see in me? What a Christian is. You want my three girls, what I want them to see in me? What a daddy, a godly daddy is. What a godly grandpa is, okay? You can preach the sermon, ladies and gentlemen, and you can tell people a lot of things, but I'll tell you what people want to do today. What they want to see today is they want to see that sermon, all right? It doesn't do no good for me to just stand up and lecture and whatnot. And I've been at lectureships. That's not supposed to be on there. What'd I do? Hit that? We'll just go like that. Bye. put that right there. And, you know, we hear debates and whatnot. And we see, see people saying, you know, vote for me, and I'll tell you, vote for me. I'll give you everything you want. Forget about this politics, all right? And if, you know, if you're in politics and you're here, I'm not trying that to be saying that to be condescending. Give your life to God. Let's live for God. And that's all we're trying to do. Because every one of us, we're going to have bad days and we're going to have good days. Do we not, ladies and gentlemen? And we have to understand that there's a God. He's creator of all those days. And he will help you. He's always there and he wants you to give it to him. By the way, that's what the scripture says, isn't it? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. You cast all your what before him? Your cares, yeah. And you know why you cast all your cares before him in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7? Because he cares for what? For you. So we ought to understand that's the way his relationship is. So if you're here, folks, and you're not a child of God, and you have questions about what I'm about to say today in the Bible class, this morning in the sermon, tonight, please do me a favor. Before you give Brian or your elders a headache, just come to me, and I'll try to facilitate it back to you, and I will do the best I can to make it so simplified by saying, can we just turn to the Bible? Because what's going on in the world today is we're getting away from the Bible. What we need to do is draw nearer to God's Word. So this is Colossians chapter 3. Here's the stage. Here's the apostle. Here's the guy. At one time, he was beheading Christians. Now he is one. You talk about the power of the gospel. At one time, there's Stephen and there's Paul, and he's right, Saul, he's right there witnessing the death. Now he's one, and people are wanting him dead. And he sets the setting here. And I know you know this setting. But here is the setting. Hear what I'm about to say. We are committed in choosing to make God smile. That's very powerful. We are committed in choosing to make God smile. We always ask, how can I glorify God in this situation? You remember that, your life will go better. And that's a fact. You see, folks, in my life as being a per se gospel preacher, I'm a servant, just a servant. That's all I am. We're trying to make it to heaven. And the only way we're going to make it to heaven is by holding on to the hands of Christ. And if you don't hold on to the hand of Jesus Christ, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. There's a lot of people out there in the world, they're telling you a different story. They're nebulous. It's pretty gray. Well, Jesus is the light. He's not gray. He's about love. And a lot of people say, oh, here's a love man. He's going to tell us about love. Yes, I am. But the love I'm going to tell you sometimes can be tough love too. But nevertheless, how in the world can you teach anything else if you don't have love down? Can someone answer that one? You know, we understand what Jesus said. You shall love the neighbor with all, or you should love your neighbor as yourself, and you know, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. We understand that. But why did he say that? What was the crux of that situation? Why did Jesus pose that? The reason he posed that is this is exactly what's going on in Colossians chapter 3. Because if you don't have love down, nothing else is going to fall in place. So you can book that. More is caught than taught. So I'm going to see how more is caught than taught. I'm not saying that teaching is not important. Teaching is very vital. But I tell you, if you don't think your children is watching you, you don't think your children knows what you're doing, do you think because you can close the door they don't know what you're doing? You forget about that. Do you think they don't see your bad habits and what everything? You don't think they hear your voice and the way you talk to people out in public? You don't think when they don't hear, you know, listen, they pick up everything. And as a grandpa now, oh my goodness, I think it's going to just get even funner, all right? I mean, because, you know, I always tell people, hey, you know, about elders or whatnot, when we selected our elders and whatnot, they said, well, Danny, what do you think about how do you do this? So I say, I'll tell you how you do it. Go talk to their wives. Go talk to their children. Because they'll tell you exactly. And if even if they are lying, which usually they don't, all right, it's going to come out in the long run, isn't it? That's just the way it is. Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. That's just the way it is. So here's Colossians chapter 3. We're talking about glorifying Christ. Look at it with me, folks. We're in Colossians chapter 3. Look at verses 1 through 5. Do I have a volunteer? If you'll raise your hand and if someone will read that for me, I'd appreciate it. Anyone? Okay, Tom, you know, please. Is it Tom?
Yes.
Okay, Tom. Verses 1 through verse 5. Thank you, sir.
If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry.
Wow. My goodness. How many times has Brian preached on this and your other preachers preached on this, or you hear elders talk about you about this, or the deacons, or yada, 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 yada. I mean, gospel meetings where people, Connie Adams or whoever has been in this building or whatnot, for goodness sake, how many times?
You look at that blueprint here, folks. You think about this.
I want you to underscore something in this, all right? Down in verse 4, with him in glory. That Tom read to us there, the glory is to God. You see, the whole gist of our life, you can look at the Old Testament, if you want to look at the paradigm of the Old Testament, or you can look at the New Testament. The whole theme is the same. We are committed in choosing to make God smile. We always ask, how can I glorify God in this situation? That is the theme of the Bible. It's always about the glorification. We're here to venerate God. That's just the fact of the matter. And we got to get that. And we should never get bored with that. In fact, when you get it, your life's going to go a lot better. It's not about you or me. It's always about him. And here's Paul putting his neck out on the stepping block, on the stone to be cut off, but he still does it. And he tells this church at Colossae, this is what you need to do. You think Paul is regretting what he said now? I don't think he's regretting what he said now. In fact, he's very happy. And he knew right before his death, his execution, that he was very happy. Because he lived out what he preached. And he knew people saw on him what he taught. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to look at these really good. I need your help with this for a moment. And by the way, this class is over at what time, Brian? Oh, see how fast time is flying? Did you set the clock back all right? I thought I'd get an extra hour. That's not going to work, okay? Oh, you're saying, oh, please, all right. No, all righty. So we look up here. What's that Tom read to you, and we talk about we're here to glorify Christ. What's something that you see in these five verses that, let's apply this personally, okay? Hey, ladies and gentlemen, if we can't show our feelings to one another, if we can't get personal, effusive with one another, what good is it? So can I just ask you, what's something that jumps out at you that you can see in this world today, and as we're trying to glorify Christ, what's some things that we got to do? Don't mind my vernacular, but this is a thing you must do, okay? What's something that you see in these verses that you got to do if you're going to be a Christian? Help me out here. June, say it again.
We have to love each other.
Amen. We have. Oh, we have to love one another. I can tell. Listen, I can tell you all, I love you. Love you, brothers. Love you, sister. Love you. Don't call me, okay? But I do love you, all right? The ball game's on, okay? Now, you could have called me and Brian yesterday watching Ohio State. You could have called us anytime. Okay, that ball game was over at the beginning, all right? I was like, why are you making me do this, Brian? Notice how I'm putting it off on him. Don't make me stay here in front of this TV. I mean, I don't want to do this, okay? They were pathetic. Okay. Forget about that, all right? Didn't mean to digress there, all right? All right. Here's the thing. Love is not fickle, is it? You're going to love one another when your team's winning. And believe me, I got to tell this to a bunch of Gators. Now, you talk about having a bad team this year, all right? All right. Or when they're getting beat. You still got to love one another. In fact, football shouldn't even play into it to being a child of God. It's okay. I mean, it's not wrong to like football or whatever your hobbies are. That's okay, fishing or whatever you do. But God, if you get the big old buck or if you don't get the big buck, if you get the big old bass or if you don't get the bass, you're still going to love God. We all have good days and bad days, do we not? You're still going to love one another. Let me give you a hint, okay? You take your children. You look at them. Let's say your child is Kelly. I'm the dad, Kelly, okay? Here we go. So Kelly, I tell Kelly, Kelly, I love you, Kelly. You know what I need to tell Kelly? Kelly's here. She's looking at me, looking at Daddy. Now what I need to tell Kelly? Kelly, I love you. Then here's the second part of that. Kelly, do you feel loved? Kelly, do you feel loved? See, I have a lot of daddies telling their children. A lot of daddies telling their woman, their wife, I love you. I need to further that. Do you feel loved? See, we play on words. Jesus never played with words. His words are yes. His words were no. You know how I know that? Because that's exactly what he said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Because whatsoever is born of this cometh with evil. That's just the way it is. So Paul was saying, this is something you got to do. You got to love one another. What else do we learn in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 5? What else is something that jumps out? Yes, we got to love one another. That's a big rock. We got to have that big rock up at top. It don't get no bigger than that. That's the big rock. Oh, my goodness. Wow. You think about that. In a world of degradation, the world that's going on with us right now, and so much stuff is going on right now. Oh, my. In every part of it. And yet, Paul said, set your mind on things above. Well, does that mean being high-minded, walking around with a big head, ladies and gentlemen? Does that mean, hey, I'm bigger than you, look at me? Because that's what some brothers do. That's what I seemed like when I go to place, northwest, east, south, whatever you want, however you want to do it. I mean, some brother, they think they're bigger than you and whatnot. And it's like, wait a minute here, we're all in the same boat. That's the problem. Let's get in the same boat. You know? But we all want to be the captain, you know? Nothing wrong with being a captain. But we all got to help one another. So how do we set our mind on things above? Let's talk about that for a second here. How do you do that? Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. How do you do that? What's one way you can do that, ladies and gentlemen? Say that again. Yes, ma'am. Prayer. Do you think prayer is vital today in a Christian's life? Oh, I tell you what, without it, you're not going to make it to heaven. How about that? Ooh, that's pretty big words, preacher. Don't you know your meeting's just beginning? You want to finish this week, right? We don't talk like that around here. You won't make it to heaven without prayer. Okay? Prayer is vital. Very vital. Is that why he says pray without ceasing? You think that was just a coincidence? Or was that the providence of God in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17? But he went on to say, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, in verse 18. It's pretty vital, isn't it? Prayer is of the utmost importance. Yes, sister, you're absolutely right. And you know what? You're defenseless against prayer. Have you ever thought of it like that? You are defenseless against prayer. I could have a sister praying for me from Romania, which I've been several times, and she's praying for me. You just don't get on a boat to go to Romania or a plane. You know, it takes a while. It takes time to get to Romania, all right? You might have been over to Europe and that part of the world and whatnot. But I'll tell you what, prayer can do things that can alter situations that it's unbelievable, can't it? Can I see the show of hands? Do you believe in the power of prayer? If you do, just raise your hand. I appreciate that, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate it. And I'm not saying this flippantly. I really mean that. I appreciate that. Y'all remember this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your mind and hearts in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Remember that? You remember that in Matthew 7, 7, asking it shall be given you, seeking you shall find, knocking it shall be open unto you. You believe in that power, ladies and gentlemen? Do you believe in the power of prayer? Because it's very, very vital, and we need that. In all things, what shall we ask in prayer? Believing you shall receive, Matthew 21. Do you believe in that, folks? You see, prayer is an essence in a Christian's life. Love is an essence. It's something that we have to have. But I know Christians, they don't got it. So what we try to do, we try to show it to them and let them see it. More is caught than taught. Because I can sit up here and I can hammer it and hammer it and hammer it. But what they want to do, they want to see it in your life. Not when everything's going good, but when everything's going bad. And that's exactly what Paul said, Peter said, and John said. You know why they said it? Because Jesus said it. It's vital. Verbatim. So, as we look at this Christian life, and as we have 9 minutes left in our class, we notice this now. Look at verse 5 that was read to us. Look at all these darts that's being thrown against you and me. Hey, is living a Christian life easy, folks? With our elders here. The elders will just sit down and tell you how easy it is to be an elder. And if you don't believe them, just ask their wives. Oh, this is just gravy. My husband comes home every day and he just smiles, skipping, you know, that, oh, we're rejoicing and whatnot. It's tough, isn't it? But you know what those elders do? They love you. Those elders' wives, they love you. You know, Peggy and Brian, they love you. Do you think it's easy being... Oh, here, let me say it about the preacher now. You think it's easy being a preacher? Oh, my goodness. Oh, say one thing, you're... Where's the tree at, okay? You know, I always tell people, if you see me hanging, cut me down. Don't let my wife see me hanging, all right? I say that jokingly, but it's like, please, you know, sometimes I just wonder because some brethren, they get so, oh, I see this verse 5 coming out in their lives. So I always go back and say, hey, Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, all right? Let's look at that again. We don't need this hatred. We don't need to be malice. We need to have this love thing going on, folks. I am not saying preachers are perfect. I'm not saying it's not time for preachers to come in or preachers to go. But why don't you treat the preachers whenever they do come in or here or at Midway where I'm at when they come in? I just tell a brother this, okay? Hey, you it was like a party coming. Let's have a party when I leave. All right? Don't get real happy about it that I'm leaving, but this is, help. And, you know, I've been blessed at the places I've been. When I'm not blessed, when I want to show them, I'm going to say, hey, remember this? Oh, you know, because the honeymoon, it gets over very quickly. But the thing is, when you walk with God, the honeymoon's never over. Never. It's never over. And I'm not being facetious when I say this. When you look at verse 5, that first word, what does that mean in your translation, in your rendition, in your version? What's that word mean? Kill. Yes, it does. Was it Bob?
Yeah.
Okay, Bob. It means to kill, mortify. It means to, if you want to look at the connotation of the word, if you want to hear the you Greek and you carry your lexicon so you can see, you know, what's this preacher know or whatnot. It means to put to death. It means to decimate. I think you're getting the point, okay? See, that's the problem with living a Christian in my life. Look at this 54-year-old man, okay? You're saying, 54? I thought he was 44. Yeah, you're saying, no, I thought he was 64. Okay, it's okay, it don't matter. You know, it just don't matter. But when you look at this word, ladies and gentlemen, that's the problem. I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. I don't want to kill this flesh. But Jesus said, Danny Allen, when you were baptized into Jesus Christ, that was December 13th, 1981, all the way back then, you put to death that body. You're living a new life. In fact, that's exactly what he meant. I understand the application spiritually. Okay? I understand the trope, T-R-O-P-E, language used here. The figurative, I understand the expression. But nonetheless, ladies and gentlemen, we can't hold on to the physical and think we're going to live spiritually the way we need to do, and it's not going to affect us. Something has to be crucified. And that's the problem we're having. We want to have everything down here, and we want to have everything up there too. But that's not what the verse said in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, does it? It says not to put your mind on things below and things above. It says you put your mind on things above. What's the big application there? What is he meaning in that verse, literally, ladies and gentlemen? Do you read Colossians 3, verse 2? When you look at this, what is he really meaning? Set your mind on things above, not things on the earth. What's he meaning there? Anyone? Say it again. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. You think about that. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Now, there's a scripture to behold. And you think about Paul. Wow. Now, this is something. And yet, Paul had the same mindset there as he has here. Now, you think about it. Hear it, Paul. But I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now you think about that, but he won't stop there, because he'll go on down in verse 12, and he said, be not overcome. Look at this. When you go down to Romans chapter 12, verse 18, if it be possible, how much is lieth in you? What are you supposed to do? You live peaceably with all men. Then look at verse 21. Do not be overcome with evil, but what do? You overcome that evil with what? You see, that's the good things. That's God. You'll never come to that. You'll never get to that pinnacle. You'll never do it if we don't get to love in our life. If you don't get prayer in our life. You see, I'm setting you up here. It's almost like I'm setting the class up. I know where you're going before you even go there. Because you see, when you walk with Jesus, the class is the same. It's not diversified. We're together. We have harmony. We have unity. Kelly, do you feel... I love you, Kelly. Dad? Kelly, do you feel love? Brothers and sisters here at Chester, I love you. No, wait a minute. Do you feel it? You're a good class, okay? You're good class. You're catching it. Oh, you're watching. My peripheral vision's better. I might be getting older, but I can see. I see what's going on. I see who's smiling. I see who's frowning, okay? So who is this guy? How many cups of coffee did he had? Only 7. No. But I enjoyed my cup with June this morning. I really enjoyed it, all right? You probably can't tell, but anyway. And here's the whole thing. Look at verse 9, because our time's almost out. Brian, would you read verse 9, please? 9 and 10, please.
Do not lie to one another, for you have stripped off the old nature with its practices, and have clothed yourselves with a new nature, which is being renewed in full knowledge, consistent with the image of the one who created it.
Do you not think that God understands your paradigm of your life? Ladies and gentlemen, I counsel a plethora of people, more than you could ever imagine. Husbands and wives that are having problems with relationships, cheating, affairs, more than you would ever imagine. Christians who are walking away from the faith, young people who are leaving the faith, and you know what? I let them know that I used to be there, that there's nothing new under the sun. That Satan wants me like he wants you. That he wants to destroy you. And I look at him and I tell him, don't give up. You give up in Danny Allen. You can give up in me all you want. Do not give up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He'll bring you back. Maybe your spouse won't come. Maybe that daughter or that little son of yours won't come. But I tell you what, dad, mom, grandpa, grandma, with you praying for them, there's a good chance they will. But without that, forget it. But when you have connections with God, don't forget the connections. Do you see what Brian just read? Don't forget the connection. All we're going to do this week, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to try to pump people up in the Lord Jesus. We want to let them to know that the Holy Spirit is not dead, that the Holy Spirit is living. We want them to know that there is a Father, and that Father cares for you. And I know He cares for you because He sent that Son. How in the world do you lay that Son? How do you let Him go through that brutish pain, that hell on earth, that pain, that agony? And you say there's not a God? That was torture at the max. That was par excellent. There was nothing greater than what was displayed for you. And He stayed there on that cross. That Lord could have said, no, I'm sick of it. I'm not going to have it. Be away with you. He showed His power before that. He could have done anything He wanted to do. But He stayed on that cross. And why did He stay on that cross? What was the whole gist of Him staying on that cross? Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for the Bible class this morning. And again, I challenge you this week, will you just ask someone? I know some people, I've been at places, they say, does that include your pets too? No, it's okay. I like pets, all right? But I'm talking about a human being, okay? I think you get it. All right, thank you so much.